All right. We need to learn page 302. All right. Do you know page 302? We're not going to sing it tonight, but do you know page 302? Jesus loves even me. I am so glad my Father in heaven. Good. Brother Marion, we need to start singing that. All right. That's Jesus loves me for big people. All right. That's for sure. Now, there's nothing wrong with singing the Jesus loves me for little people either, all right? Both of them are good, that's for sure. Both of them are good. Take your Bible tonight. Let's go to the book of Job, would you? Job chapter 36. And we just want to have a good time tonight in the Word of God. Just want to be an encouragement to you. Some people think, well, the only thing the preacher likes to do is preach hard, make you feel bad, get you at the altar weeping and repenting of your sin. Sometimes it's okay to just preach something that's just an encouragement, all right? And we're going to try to do that tonight just for a little while. Job chapter 36, and, you know, by the way, I will say this. I'm not real enthusiastic in some ways about live streaming the services, but another way I am, we've got some folks that are faithful watchers of the live stream, and some of them can't get out and about, and so I'm glad it's there for them, and I hope they'll pay attention. And if I will say this to all the rest of you out there who watch, if you want us to sing you happy birthday, send in the date of your birthday with a nice size check, and we will. All right. I was just kidding about that. All right, but Job 36, you got it. Let's look, if you will, down in verse 5. The Bible says, "Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted." Drop down now, if you will, to verse 26, all right? For the Bible said, "Behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out." The truth of the matter is, could have gone to several different places and could read a host of other verses tonight and to use for the text for what I want to preach to you tonight. But we go to the book of Job. Job's considered to be the oldest book in the Bible. By that's the one that was written the earliest, and it is in its pages as really a wealth of information about God. And so many people today get their idea of God from somewhere else than the Bible. They get these crazy ideas and all of that, and they speak to you like they have authority and they actually know what they're talking about. But the God they're talking about is not the God of the Bible, all right? But I want to just take a little bit of time tonight and take some scriptural truth and preach to you tonight on the subject, because there is nothing wrong with God. There is nothing wrong with God. You say, why you say that? Well, we live in so much trouble. We live in a day of so much turmoil, and man, you know, people are confused, they're befuddled, and we're wandering around. We see that folks that we've looked upon as leaders fall into sin. And then we'll oftentimes, because of what we see, we get disappointed, maybe discouraged. And sometimes with people, it gets beyond that. They absolutely get despondent over the things that are happening, what's going on in the world. And unfortunately, when you have that, for instance, we had, what was it, in Turkey where the big earthquake was? Is that right? And I haven't seen it, but didn't see anything on television, hadn't watched the news in a while, but I heard on the radio like 5,000 maybe killed, huh? 33,000, all right? And I, obviously what I heard was very early on, 33,000 people killed. And when we get those kind of things that are happening, some people point their finger at God. And they want to blame him. Some people doubt him. Some people debate him. Some people depart from him, all right? I just want to tell you, all of that's wrong. It's such a wrong thing because there is nothing wrong with God. There's absolutely nothing wrong with God. Let me just give you a few points about that tonight. First of all, God's still real. God is still real. I mentioned the disaster and problems, and when there's a big disaster or something falls like that, or even a mass shooting in our day, you know, people are prone to say, well, that's proof there must not be a God. If there was a God and if there was a loving God, he would never allow such a thing to happen. Folks, that is so messed up, all right? Such a messed up idea about God. The reality of trouble and trials doesn't negate the reality of God. Yep, there are problems in the world, okay? There are problems in the world. But here's one of the basic problems. Look back in Numbers. Numbers chapter 23. Now, this is why people get oftentimes want to say, well, there must not be a God. If there was a God, these things wouldn't happen. I mean, and sometimes when there's a tragedy, people are upset and they say, well, where was God if he exists when that happened? I've known people myself that had a child die, and because of that, they departed from God. They quit serving God, walked off, won't go to church, and they just got very bitter about everything. But look at Numbers chapter 23, would you? Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. What a truth. God is not a man. God is not a man. See, our problem is we want God to be like us. The world's filled with people who said, well, you know, he needs to be like we are, and if he was like we are, we'd understand him, all right? Now, I tell you what, I know a lot of people I don't understand. And I know people do things, and I think, what in the world are you thinking? What in the world were you thinking when you did that? I saw a fellow today, not some people, especially somebody that might just launch in and watch this video down the road, they're going to say, oh, you judging people. I don't care what you say, all right? We were eating lunch today and saw this fella, and he had, you know, I didn't just look at him. He had this tattoo here on his neck, and I'm sure maybe other places, but saw this on his neck. But had a beard, and that's always a question mark. No, I was kidding about that. Had a beard, but he had, I said that for Brother Dunbar's benefit, just picking on him. But he had taken his hair, you know, and had this knot up here, you know, a little bit sticking up. And I'm thinking, oh, for my soul, why would you do that? Why would you do that? I don't understand people that go buy clothes, pay extra money for a pair of jeans that's shredded, you know, and look like been run over by the lawnmower or something. And I'm thinking, good heavens, you know, why? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. You say, well, fashion. Okay, I don't understand that either. Okay. So somebody said, well, God, he ought to be like us. We can understand him. No, God's not a man. But notice what else that verse says. God is not a man, okay? He's not a man that, all right, he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Hey, we need to remember that. He's God. He's not man. I'll be honest with you. If I had him figured out, I wouldn't figure he could be God. Just wouldn't figure. God is real. The fact that we have trouble doesn't negate God. The fact that there are problems doesn't negate God. He's just as real today as he was when he walked with Adam and Eve yonder in the Garden of Eden. Nothing's changed. He's just as real today as when he walked with Adam and Eve yonder in the Garden of Eden. Just as real. Hey, he's just as real today as he was when he stopped Abraham from killing his son Isaac. Just as real. He's just as real tonight as he was that day on Mount Sinai when he spoke to Moses and gave him the law. He's just as real, hadn't changed at all. Hey, he's just as real today as he was that day when the nation of Israel and the army of God began to walk towards that Jordan River to cross into the land of Canaan. And when the priest touched that water, man, it just opened up the way. He's just as real today. He's just as real. Hey, he's just as real today as he was that night that Paul and Silas were in jail and they'd been beaten and they were singing and praising the Lord and people were praying for them and God shook the jail and opened it up and dropped the fetters off of them. He's just as real today. He's just as real. We need to remember that. God's still real. He's still real. Let me say this secondly. I want you to understand he's still right. God is still right. We just read their numbers. He's not a man that he should lie. He's still right. Everything about him, all right? His word's right. The Bible has no mistakes. Look, if you will, in Psalms chapter 12, all right? The 12th Psalm, if you will. Look there in verse 6, okay? Psalm 12, verse 6. Now, I was reading just the other day. I've got all kinds of stuff in my library. And I saw one fellow said, this has nothing to do with the Word of God. But it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Hey, that's what His Word is. It's perfect. It's perfect, all right? It is perfect. Everything about it is perfect. His Word is right. Hey, His Word, He's still right. He still has the answer for man's problems. He still got the answer. People today said, oh, the world's changed so much and there is such a difference in the world today. That old book, just it's outdated and it's no longer relevant. You haven't read it then. You haven't read it. It's just as relevant as ever been. It's just as right as it's ever been. And it reveals to you and I the mind of God. You want to, we talk about, I don't understand how women think. I don't. Now, wait a minute. That's not a put down of ladies. It's not a put down. I don't expect them to understand necessarily how I think. Why? Because we're different. We're different. God made us different. I'm glad He did. I'm glad He made us different, okay? I'm very glad of that. But you hear me. God, hey, He's, you want to know about Him? You read this book. You read this book, it reveals the mind of God. We change our minds. God doesn't. God doesn't change His mind. You think about that just a little bit. Because we live in a day where people, we want to do things our way. We want to change our mind, and then we want God to change His mind. And we live in that day where, well, God ought to change His mind. He ought to get with the program, all right? Well, I got news for you. He's not going to change His mind. What He said was right, still right. What He said was wrong 2,000 years ago, it's still wrong. If it was right 2,000 years ago, still right today. If it's wrong 2,000 years ago, still right today. All right, if it's still wrong, if He said it's wrong. Man, look, you with me? He doesn't change His mind. His Word is perfect. This book we've got, as old Brother Roloff used to say, it doesn't need to be rewritten, it needs to be reread. And boy, we just need to read it and find out why. Because God's still right. His Word is right. I'll tell you this, His way is right. You're there in Psalms. Look, Psalm 18. You're close to Psalm 18. You're Psalm 12. Psalm 18. That 18th Psalm down in verse 30 says, as for God, His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Well, I don't understand it. Well, that's your problem. That's not God's problem. I don't understand. Okay, me either. And don't come to me and try to get me to explain everything that God does. I don't know it. He's God, but His way is perfect. He said, I just can't grasp it. That I understand. That I understand. There's a lot of things I can't grasp either. There's a lot of things that happen in this old world. I don't understand it. I don't understand those things. I don't understand oftentimes why children are born with such crippling defects. I don't understand that. Don't know why that happens. I don't know why it has to be that way. But could I tell you something? And I think all of us may be able to go home, look in the mirror and say this. I don't understand why God's been so good to me. I don't understand that. We try to point out all these things out there and say, why did he do that? Well, wait a minute, why is God so good to you? Why has he been so good to you? You know, we try to look at all of them. We try to find the one thing that we can latch on to, when the truth of the matter is that one, for instance, the tragedy in Turkey, that earthquake, we try to find that one thing that seems so colossal. Say, why? Look in the mirror and ask God, why have you been so good to me? Why have you been so good to me? I want to tell you this, I know it. His way is perfect. His way is perfect, all right? He never makes a mistake. Never makes a mistake. I get tickled at kids in school. Some of the things they do and some of the mistakes they make. And you'll go through and try to help them with something and they'll bring it back and you'll be looking and I say, man, that's still wrong. And they go, man. All right, and they'll go back and work at it. Finally, they've erased it so many times, they erase a hole in the paper. Why? Mistakes. Hey, we make mistakes. We make mistakes. Then when something goes wrong, we try to say, oh, God made one. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. His way is perfect. His way is the way of life, and his way is the way to live. It's just plain and simple. He hasn't messed anything up. He's not going to mess anything up. You and I need to grasp that truth. We need to hang on to it, all right? We just really need to hang on to it. His way is perfect, all right? He's real. He's still right. Not only is his word right and his way is right, his will is right. His will is right. Whatever his will is for you is right. And by the way, it's always right to follow the will of God. It's always right. You find something in the Bible where it says, this is the will of God for you, you ought to do what it says. Because his will is always right. Now, we may think, Lord, are you sure? Yeah, he's sure. You just get on board. You just get on board, all right? It's the will of God. And I tell people, and I've heard numerous other pastors say things, greatest thing you and I can do is find out what the will of God for us is and get in it. Because his will is always right. Now, when you get into it, it may not look that way when you first get into it. But it'll be right. It'll be right. You ever gone anywhere where you turned and you thought, man, I'm not sure I'm going right. I'm not sure this is the right way. I'm not sure. And you just keep going, oh, yeah, it's beginning to look familiar. This is the right. I tell you, that's kind of that way with the will of God. You get in the will of God. You surrender to that will of God, and you may wonder, Lord, do you know what you're doing? Hey, when he called me to preach, Lord, you sure you know what you're doing? But his will's right. His will for you, his will for me, it's right. Now just you remember that, all right? God's still real. God is still right. And nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with him at all. Tell you something else. In spite of what people think, God's still reasonable. God is still a reasonable God. Let me just talk to you a minute. Would you just think about reasoning? Hey, it's still reasonable that sin has to be paid for. That's reasonable. That's reasonable. Neighbor kid, your next door neighbor. He's out playing around, hits the ball, knocks a hole in your window. Is it not reasonable he should pay for it? That's not unreasonable. Not unreasonable at all. You're sitting stopped at a red light, calmly waiting on the light to change, and all of a sudden your head snaps back against the headrest, and you're propelled into the intersection because somebody behind you was texting or talking on the phone or daydreaming or whatever, okay? And they ran into you. You know, and you get out of the car rubbing your neck. They get out of the car and they say, I sure am sorry. And you said, don't worry about it. It's okay. I've got insurance. My insurance take care of it. Let me see the hands of everybody that's what you'd say. Not a one of us. Not a one of us. All right? We might not say it, but we get out of the car saying, I hope you got insurance. You're going to pay for this. And man, that's not the best way to start the conversation, okay? But that's the way. Why? Because it's reasonable. That's reasonable. It's just reasonable. You mess up, you pay for it. It's reasonable. No problem. You're in a store somewhere. You're fooling around with something, and it's got signs up, you know, don't touch, and watch your kids or something like that, and your child picks it up and drops it and break it. That's reasonable. You pay for it. It's reasonable. Well, it didn't cost that much. I don't care. You're responsible. It's reasonable. It's reasonable. My friend, I'll tell you, it's reasonable. Sin must be paid for. It can't just be forgotten or ignored. We can't just walk through life and say, oh, well, somebody has to pay its price. It's reasonable. Now, you back up a little bit, and I'll tell you what, it's pretty reasonable that sinful man can't pay for his own sin, too. That's reasonable. Here I am, a sinner, and I got to figure out some way to pay for my sin. Well, I can't. I can't. That's why it took a perfect sacrifice to be our substitute. That's why it was demand. That's reasonable. That is reasonable. Take your Bible, Isaiah chapter 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to read this verse, and you follow along in your Bible, and you're going to say, well, I never heard that before. You have in my Bible. It's marked in my Bible. Probably many of you've marked it in yours, I'm sure. Here's what Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, come now, and let us what? Reason together. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isn't it wonderful to know God still wants to reason with man? Hey, that was his invitation way back yonder, about 700 plus years B.C. He said, come now and let us reason together. You know what he says today? Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Boy, I'm sure glad God still wants to reason with man. After thousands of years of history, man still can't get it right. But God's still willing to reason with us. Reason. You get over there in the book of Romans, and the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. Reasonable. God just asked too much. You got to be kidding. You have got to be kidding. He's paid your sin debt. All right? He's taken care of that sin debt for you. He's removed the stain of sin for you. And the Bible says it's cast into the sea, and it's as far away as the east is from the west. It's never to be remembered anymore. He's taken and put his son's righteousness on you. So when God sees you, he no longer sees the sinner. He sees the righteousness of his son and no longer views you as a sinner. And he says to you, you've got eternal life. Eternal life. And then he says to you, hey, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And he tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we have the audacity to say, you're just asking too much. Oh no, he's reasonable. He's reasonable. It's reasonable for us who have such a benefit from what he's done for us to serve him. That's reasonable. There's nothing unreasonable about that at all. Yet people today act like, oh no, he's just asking way too much. No, he's not. That's your reasonable service. That's my reasonable service. present ourselves a living sacrifice. Hey, God's still real. He's still right. He's still reasonable. Reasonable. You, when you go to Him, you don't have to worry about Him being unreasonable. Now, sometimes we deal with people here that are unreasonable. But when you go to Him, He's not unreasonable. His way is perfect. His word is perfect. His will is perfect. He's not unreasonable. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 33, would you? Deuteronomy chapter 33. That's in the Old Testament, by the way. Deuteronomy chapter 33. I want you to look at verse 27, would you? What a marvelous verse. Right there in Deuteronomy, we think of the law and its harshness and all of that, and we think of the God telling people over and over, Moses preaching to the people of Israel, if you depart from Him, this is a judgment of God's going to fall on you. But right there in Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Hey, He's still a refuge. He's still a refuge. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Why? He's our refuge. He's our refuge. So where do we go? We go to the rock. Why? Because all other ground is sinking sand. He's still our refuge. In the midst of your problems, in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of suffering, I tell you what, you go to Him, He's the refuge. In the midst of the enemy's attack and everything thrown at you, you go to Him. He's the refuge. He's the refuge. Boy, so much better than making man your refuge. To say He's greater than man is such an understatement that, you know, don't even know how to phrase it that way. Don't trust man. The Bible said don't put your confidence in men. Don't put your confidence in men. Why? Well, we trust God. Why? He's the refuge. He's the refuge. Look, I wish it wasn't so, but men will let you down. They will disappoint you. They will turn their back on you in some cases. They will, as we like to say, they will stab you in the back, sometimes literally. But oftentimes figuratively, they will do that to you. You can't put that confidence in man, but you can count on God. He's your refuge. And because of His might and because of His strength, there's none to compare to Him. Look, if we go 62nd Psalm, Psalm 62. Turn over there with me, would you? Psalm 62. Well, the truth of the matter is there's a multitude of verses we could use tonight, but Psalm 62, look down in verse 7, would you? Psalm 62, verse 7, the Bible says, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him from time to time. Oh, wait a minute, that's not what it says. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge. I like the next two words. For us. Selah. So what does that word Selah mean? It's sort of like, amen, all right, or that's right. That's what it is. Hey, He's a refuge for us. Because of His strength, because of His might, there's none to compare to Him, all right? None to compare to Him. We can go to Him and find that refuge. He's the hiding place if we need Him, all right? He's the hiding place. What a wonderful truth that is. Look in Psalm 94. I've got it written out here in my Bible, in my notes, but we'll just turn over there. We're not in any hurry, right? Nobody wants to get home and watch stupid Super Bowl. All right, Psalm 94, okay? Psalm 94, look if you will, verse 22. But the Bible said that the Lord is my defense and my God is the rock of my refuge. Refuge. Can I say this to you? He's still faithful. He's still faithful. He's still able. Still able. The first year, I remember going to youth camp. Pretty sure it was the first year we went to youth camp at Pot of Gold. We sang a course. This may have been the year I learned that course. And that course is, He's able. He's able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted. He set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again. And He caused the blind to see. But that was in the past. No, He's able. He's able. I know my Lord is able. He's able to carry me through. Hadn't failed. He's still a refuge, all right? He's still able. He's still gracious and merciful. If He wasn't, we'd all be dead. But He's gracious and merciful to us. Oh, my soul. Can I just say, there's nothing wrong with God. There is nothing wrong with God. There's something wrong with the world. It's warped. It's warped. Did you ever get one of those? Some of you are not old enough, but some of you are old enough. You get one of those record albums that's warped. Those 33 and a third, you know, the big ones with a little bitty hole, all right? You put them on, that thing is warped, and you turn it on, it really sounds weird. Man, it's just got a weird sound to it. And you go, what's wrong with that? And sometimes you look over there and you see that needle. That arm on that thing is up and down. What's wrong? Well, it's warped. That's what's wrong with the world. The world's warped. Not only is it warped, it's wicked. It's wicked. And it doesn't get better, it gets worse. All this crowd preaching them where God's people going to bring in the kingdom. Man, are they ever upside down too. No, it's a wicked old world, all right? It's a wicked old world. Just messed up. It's not getting better, it's getting worse. And the Bible said it get worse. And we're Bible believers, we know that, we understand it. Why in the world we look to the world? Why in the world do we let things happen in the world cause us to doubt God? Oh my soul, nothing wrong with God. Something wrong with the world. It's warped, it's wicked, and boy, if it's forevermore wanting. It leaves us that way too. That's why you see people, when they get what they want, they find out they're not satisfied. Because they thought they wanted what the world had to offer. That's why you hear of very famous people just, you know, throwing their hands in, quit. Why? Well, because they found out everything the world promised, they still left them wanting. Hey, why? Because there's something wrong with the world, all right? I hate to tell you this, but there's something wrong with man. There's just something wrong with him. He's willful. Now, I know none of us are. Yeah, we get willful. We won't do it our way. And that's the reason a lot of times people get mad at God. They can't figure out why. Well, won't you let me do it my way? They can't understand there's a better way. It's like a kid. Like a willful child that's got a parent. And that parent's trying to steer them in the right way, but that child, no, I want to go this way. And you just have to deal with them. I would say beat them, but that's not appropriate anymore, all right? But, and never do we. I never was beaten as a kid. I was spanked. And I'm not in favor of beating anybody. Well, there's some criminals I wouldn't mind getting beaten, you know. But, you know, hey, but where man's willful, he's rebellious. Well, there nothing men like to do, I don't think, more than shake their fist in the face of God and say, I won't do what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. Just got that rebellious streak in us. Hey, man's always thinks he's right. Well, I'm right. You deal with people. I've dealt with some people, and man, they're just absolutely convinced they were right. Had a neighbor down at the school. The fellow lives on the corner, or did live on the corner there, and we kind of had some words. Now, I tried not to lose my temper with him, and I tried to explain to him, look, what you're saying is not true. Because he was convinced that he owned 6 feet of our property, ours being the church's property. And he, that's mine. I said, no. And I said, what you're talking about is a utility easement, and half of it, that's 3 feet, Bubba, is on your side, and 3 feet's on our side, but you don't own it. This is our property. But he thought, no, it's mine. And, he would throw his grass trimmings, you know, one of them lawnmower. I never have understood people that mowed their grass, picked up their weed, you know, drop trimmings. Now, you may do it. Go ahead. It's all right. I'm not preaching against it. Go ahead. But he would do that, and then he'd come and drop it over his back fence onto what he claimed was his property. And I'm trying to talk to him. And he was just convinced, this is it, I'm right. And he was so strong in it that I began to wonder, is he right? You know? But then I'd stop and think, no, I know he's not. And finally I had to go get the city, one of the city men, to come down here and tell him, hey, mister, that's not your property. That's their property. And if they tell you you can't get on it, you can't get on it. But man, was he forevermore convinced he was right. Now, after that, we became friends. And I'm glad we did. I didn't want to be his adversary. But I just think about him as an example of, man, he thinks he's right. We get the idea, boy, I'm right. Hey, old Tommy Stone used to sing a song, and part of that song was, Lord, I know that I'm weak. I know that you're strong. I know that you're right. And a lot of times, I'm wrong. Hey, he said, but when I wake up in the morning, he said, and I pray, don't let nothing get a hold of me today, Lord, that you and me together can't handle. Amen to that. Hey, listen, I'll tell you, there's nothing wrong with God. Nothing wrong with God. You think, well, he's let me down. No, he hadn't. You just hadn't seen it all yet. You haven't seen it all. You mark it down. He's just real as he ever was. He is right. He's always right. He's perfect. You can count on that. He's reasonable. You can take and go to him, and what he wants is reasonable. You mark it down, okay? You mark it down. He's our refuge. I'm so glad I can go to him. So glad I can go to him. As a little kid, I was glad Dad was a refuge. Dad, little sawed-off guy. I think he's only 5'8 on the best day. You know, 5'8", but I thought he could handle anybody. When I was a kid, Dad would whoop anybody. Not Dad, as far as I know, I mean, I never saw him get in a fight or anything like that, but I figured Dad would take care of me. If I could just get there, it was all right. Hey, and sometimes if I could just get to Mama, you know, she could take care of me, all right? She could do that. I want to tell you something. There's a God in heaven, and the Bible says to us that he loves us, and he is our refuge. Nothing wrong with God. Now, there may be something wrong with us. But you know what? You'll come to him, he can fix it if we'll let him. If we'll let him, he can get us some help. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, help us to never doubt you. Help us, Lord, to never be in that crowd that will want to point a finger at you. Lord, I confess to you, there's many times and many things I do not understand. But I've learned, Lord, that you're right. I've learned, Lord, that you're real. You're still just real today as you were when, in the days of the Bible, when Elijah prayed and you sent fire from heaven. Lord, you're still real. You can still do the great things you've always been able to do. You're still able. Lord, you're reasonable to us. And Lord, I'm so glad you're refuge. Lord, if the problem's with us tonight, There's an individual here needs to hit the altar. Would you help them to come? Lord, help us to get ourselves adjusted, because we know there's nothing wrong with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand tonight?